Welcome. My name is Ruth van der Loven. I am a child rehabilitation medical doctor working in a child rehabilitation center of the University Hospital in Ghent, in Belgium, Europe. On behalf of the authors of our published systematic review and meta-analysis of risk factors for neonatal brachial plexus palsy, I am glad to present this invited editorial for developmental medicine and child neurology. You can access this article online or read the printed version of June 2020, volume 62 and issue 6. Some background to start with. Neonatal brachial plexus palsy is reported worldwide in 0.1 to 8.1 per 1,000 live births. It is a varying incidence with a study type and availability of maternal and fetal care. Importantly, about 20 to 35% of the newborns will conserve long-term functional impairments with financial burden, restricted daily life activities, limited participation, and important overall quality of life implications. Therefore, early identification of modifiable risk factors is imperative. Appropriate management or avoidance of risk factors might contribute to reduction in neonatal brachial plexus morbidity. Therefore, the aim of the present study was to determine and unravel the significant risk factors for neonatal brachial plexus palsy. In order to do so, we conducted a systematic review to assess the 5 most frequently reported significant risk factors. Secondly, we conducted a meta-analysis. By combining the results from all available studies to calculate the pooled odds ratios and to assess the heterogeneity among studies. In addition, we performed a subgroup meta-analysis to calculate the pooled incidence and its evolution over time. The systematic review. First of all, the Cochrane database of systematic reviews was searched to ensure a similar review had not been undertaken. Our protocol was accepted for registration in Prospero. The methodological rigor of a systematic review was conducted. A comprehensive search strategy was performed systematically using the PICO format, population intervention comparison and outcome, for clinical questions in 4 different databases. The intent to combine all available relevant evidence was affected by pre-specified stringent eligibility criteria. 3 authors independently screened, checked inclusion criteria, and performed data extraction. Disagreements were resolved by consensus. 5 most significant risk factors were extracted. Risk of bias and quality assessment was done by the Newcastle Ottawa Scale, the stroke checklist, and the GRADE approach for body of evidence. A meta-analysis for the 5 risk factors was performed. We calculated the pooled odds ratios for each risk factors with a 95% confidence interval. Heterogeneity across studies was assessed, and in case the value was more than 450%, a sensitivity analysis was performed. Funnel plots were constructed to assess publication bias. Additional pooled incidence was calculated, also an evolution over time by creating 3 time frames. a subgroup meta-analysis was calculated to compare the incidence per time frame. Of course, the Prisma statement, the Moores guidelines, and Grant's review were followed to report this meta-analysis. The results. All detailed information about literature search results, excluded articles, study characteristics can be consulted in detail in the article, supplemented by graphs and tables. In summary, 22 studies were included. The historic risk factors for neonatal brachial plexus palsy were listed and divided into maternal, labor, fetal or neonatal, and para or medical related factors. The stroke checklist showed an overall compliance of 67%. Methodological assessment by a new Castle-Ottawa scale showed that 12 articles achieved a score of at least 7 stars, indicating high quality. The other 10 articles received at least 5 stars. The meta-analysis represented a total sample size of 29,419,037 live births. The 5 most frequently reported significant risk factors were used for meta-analysis. It was shoulder dystocia, macrosomia, gestational diabetes, instrumental delivery, and bridge delivery. You can see on the slide each odds ratio, confidence interval, and heterogeneity percentage. We showed also that caesarean section had emerged as a protective value. The sub-meta analysis showed a pooled overall incidence of 1.74 per 1,000 live births. The evolution over time showed a significant decrease between time period 1 and time period 3. What this paper adds? Shoulder dystocia was found to be the major risk factor for neonatal brachial plexus palsy. Heterogeneity was explained by a huge variety in incidence. Shoulder dystocia is often imprecisely coded, underreported, or unrecognized. Secondly, the obstetrical technique may differ between centers. That explains the difference association of the risk factor with the neonatal brachial plexus palsy. Macrosomia as a second main risk factor. The heterogeneity is also explained by the incidence variety of macrosomia, for instance, in Arab versus Western populations. Also, a different obstetric technique was seen between different studies. Maternal diabetes. The heterogeneity is explained by the difference of birth weight, ratio of head to abdominal circumference of the fetus, maternal weight differences, and age differences between diabetic versus non-diabetic groups. The fourth risk factor is instrumental delivery. The heterogeneity between across studies is again explained by different reporting numbers depending on the use of maternal versus neonatal records. Presence of other risk factors, or no technique, no information about technique, about the sequential use of instruments, especially the temporal trends. The fifth factor was bridge delivery. Also, heterogeneity could be explained by difference of incidence of the risk factors, of confounders, which were not always described, and a different obstetrical technique. Some studies had a lower association with neonatal brachyplexus palsy due to a better selection for trial of vaginal breech delivery versus C-section. In practice, clinicians are of course confronted with a combination of different risk factors, which are interrelated, as shown in the picture. Therefore, prevention is difficult, owing to the unpredictability and often the labor-related risk. The focus needs then to be on risk stratification, antenatal counseling, enhanced labor surveillance, and of course simulation training. Although C-section seems to be protective, it does not totally prevent neonatal brachyplexus palsy. Moreover, it carries significant neonatal and maternal morbidities, and of course the cost has to be taken into account. The incidence, the pooled overall incidence, is 1.74 per 1,000 live births. Luckily, it decreased in recent years. The present study is, to our knowledge, the largest meta-analysis to investigate the risk factors for neonatal brachyplexus palsy. Of course, this study has strengths and, of course, limitations, but it highlights the need for future research for all previously mentioned risk factors, but also the undiscovered ones, and of course their interrelation. Uniform definition of neonatal brachyplexus palsy, and of course of the risk factors, but also uniform registration and nationwide databases is recommended to avoid source and publication bias. I want to invite you to check the references of this article and the supporting information. Let's keep each other well informed, and thank you for your attention.